dating back to the earliest days of Western expansion in the U.S., is a collection of checkerboard patterns that divide public lands from private lands. As a challenge to what they consider to be archaic policies, a group of hunters from Missouri decided to cut some of those checkerboards in Wyoming, and they found themselves facing federal trespassing charges. To learn more about Western land policies and what the Missouri hunters may have been trying to accomplish, I'm joined by Aaron Weiss. He is Deputy Director for the Center for Western Priorities. Aaron, why did these so-called checkerboard patterns of land come about in the West, and when did they start?
They are fairly common, and checkerboard is the correct term. This dates back to the Western expansion of the U.S. in the 19th century, when the government seized indigenous lands, forced Native Americans off the land, and then gave that land away to railroad companies to encourage more white settlers to move west. This was the era of manifest destiny, of go west, young man. So with especially the Pacific Railway Act from 1862, when President Lincoln signed it, the government split up the land across the west into square mile sections, and they gave the railroads every other section for them to sell. And the U.S. government held on to its sections, thinking that at some point they'd be able to sell that land off for twice the price. Now, that, of course, largely didn't happen because, as it turns out, much of the West is too arid for large-scale farming. So that resulted in the public lands that we all cherish so much today in the West. But it also means that that checkerboard is still present across much of the West. And so you have ended up with millions of acres of public land that are effectively locked up and inaccessible to the public. Sometimes that is with inholdings that look like a donut, public land that is completely surrounded by private land. So the only way you could get there, short of skydiving, is to get permission from a landowner. But then you also have this checkerboard, which, just as it sounds, it means you've got two parcels of public land that meet at a corner with two parcels of private land on the other side. Surprisingly enough, the law over whether it is legal to go from one parcel of national public land to another parcel of national public land at the corner has never really been settled at the national level.
Wow.
And that has created the situation that we have now in Wyoming, where you have both a criminal case and a lawsuit in civil court stemming from it.
Well, can we dig in a little bit more on that? Then when it comes down to the actual charges that these four people are facing, should they have known what they were doing? Did they say that they knew what they were doing?
What they did here, they went to one of these corner crossings, a parcel of public land that is only connected to another parcel at the corner, and they actually set up essentially a ladder at that corner, so they were able to cross from one parcel into the other without ever setting foot in the private land on either corner. And the landowner on either side there, who's a billionaire former pharma executive, called the sheriff and had them arrested for trespass. There was even with the ranch manager there a "do you know who my boss is" kind of moment that was captured on tape. These hunters were going there to make a point, and groups like Backcountry Hunters and Anglers started a GoFundMe for their legal defense, and they are doing this to try to set a precedent for public land access at corner crossings.
And Aaron, how much has changed, and over what time period has this sort of change occurred? As we're seeing, you mentioned this billionaire former pharma exec, and the fact that at least there aren't that many people who could afford this kind of thing, but there has been a growth of these billionaire land investors in the West. And how has that affected things over the last short term?
Sometimes we've seen it happen illegally, where they will put up signs saying, land closed, even on a road that's an existing easement granting access to public land. But what's happening here is, I think, really a result of 21st century technology highlighting a problem that has existed thanks to 19th century law. It wasn't easy until recently to get to exactly where one of these corner crossings is and make that point so specifically. But now that everyone has detailed, accurate GPS trackers in their pocket, it should be much easier to access these public lands that you couldn't back in the days of topo maps and compasses when you needed that to navigate public lands. Now anyone can.
Arizona certainly has many, many, many acres of federal land. Is there anything unique about how things have occurred in Arizona? Are there any events that, when it comes down to what happened in Wyoming, anything similar in Arizona recently that you can tell our listeners about?
Arizona has an interesting, slightly different problem in getting to how land was allocated in Arizona at statehood. The later you got into American history, the more parcels were given to states in what's called state trust land. Now, this is land that belongs to the state, but is not like state parks. This is land that may or may not be open to the public. In Arizona, it generally is supposed to be, because there was so much land given to the state in trust. The Teddy Roosevelt Conservation Partnership in 2019 started looking at it, found 1.3 million acres of landlocked state trust land just in Arizona alone. Now, it's not all checkerboarded. Some of that is in holdings as well. But it does mean that you have a similar problem, but this federal case wouldn't necessarily be a precedent here. It would be something that state law would have to establish, a state right to access state trust lands at corners.
What are you watching for as this makes it its way through the courts to see just how impactful the ruling can be?
Well, ironically, the case, which is now going to move pretty slowly because it's in federal court time, yes. It also is probably going to hinge on a 19th century law, the Unlawful Enclosure of Public Lands Act of 1885. And that's a law that blocks any person from creating fencing that prevents others from peaceably entering public land. So Mark Squillace, who's a law professor at the University of Colorado, he says that is the statute that's going to come into play here. And I think that's going to be really interesting to watch this civil case if it ends up creating a precedent on national public land access that could effectively overrule state trespass laws if there is a federal right to cross at a corner from federal land to federal land.
That is Aaron Weiss. He is Deputy Director of the Center for Western Priorities. Aaron, thank you for the time.
My pleasure, Steve.